We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Sanders gets it left side. Big room and a touchdown for Sanders. His second.
Throws to the end zone. Touchdown. Adam Thielen makes the catch.
Throws over the middle. It's caught by the former Raven. Hayden Hurst reaches for the goal line. In for the touchdown.
Deep one. End zone. Caught. Touchdown. DJ Chark, the over-the-shoulder grab.
And now Brady under pressure, and he's brought down. Back at the 27-yard line by Brian Burns.
And it's picked. J.C. Horn.
Panthers have it and will score. It's taken into the end zone by Jeremy Chin.
Bryce Young off play action. Deep ball into the end zone. Oh, what a throw. On the money for the touchdown.
Panthers fans, how we doing today? Feeling a little better? Nursing those wounds from Monday night? Come on in here. It's a little therapy session. It's the Roar Podcast, brought to you by Blue Wire. We are sponsored by PrizePicks.com. I'm John Ellis. We've got Billy Marshall on deck, giving you all the insights from a tough game for the Panthers. Home opener, under the lights, Bryce Young's home debut, and of course, social media. Many of those out there in social media, at least, hitting the panic button. It's par for the course. Team is 0-2 right now. Now, we're going to talk about what the proper level of reaction should be, at least from our perspective, in terms of analyzing Young's play and the offensive structure, not only the play calling, but the play designs as well. We're going to talk about some of the key players in this game. We've graded every position group on tape. We'll talk about those position groups, including Frankie Lou, who, big number 49, was electric in this game. Unfortunately, his running mate, Shaq Thompson, is out for the season now, according to Frank Reich. And, of course, it wouldn't be a Roar Podcast without a Q&A. We've got your mailbag questions. We're going to answer as many as we can today. Let's get ready to move forward. As Bill Belichick says, we're on to Seattle. It's the Roar Podcast right here on Blue Wire.
Welcome to another episode of The Roar, brought to you by Blue Wire. I'm your host, Billy Marshall, joined by my co-host, John Ellis. John, how are you?
Bill, I'm doing good. I'm doing better than a lot of Panthers fans apparently today. Keeping a level head as always on this show. We're here to be your therapist, so to speak, in terms of analyzing an 0-2 start for a team that a lot of people, look, it's house divided. Are they rebuilding? Are they not? I can't wait to talk about all this with you, but that was a tough sledding type of watch last night offensively. A lot to get to.
Yeah, for sure. And I'll just start out with my own sentiment, and I'm not sure where this discussion originated as far as rebuild or not rebuild. I have my own thoughts that I'll share later. Like I said, with all due respect to the color commentators, I think it was Fowler, Orlovsky, and Riddick. I prefer watching the game on mute. Sometimes I even have the local radio station on just to kind
there
of
you go support your local radio. There you go.
Yeah, NFL Plus, you can hell hear yeah. all the radio.
Hell yeah, that's where it's at.
But yeah, so I'll get to that. So I really didn't understand what they were saying, but I've seen this sentiment across my Twitter feed. But as it relates to this game, John, I've been very consistent in that I'm going to give this offensive operation 3 weeks until I judge it. And I mean everything.
Is it three or four? I thought it was four now.
Okay. I'm willing to do four, but I mean, I would be lying to you if I didn't mention that last night was alarming in several aspects.
Definitely.
And I just think, like, you know, play designs, skill players, that's one thing. The biggest issue to me was just the operation. Why are plays getting called on time? Why are you burning timeouts in situations in a close game like this? Like, and again, I don't know who to blame for that. That was a persistent problem under Coach Rule's administration, and we called that out, whether it was Joe Brady calling plays or whether it was McAdoo. And so for our own sanity and consistency, it deserves to be brought out. This is supposed to be a professional football coach organization now, with all of the money you've spent into this on that side of the ball. I mean, why are you having issues that should be day one install back in the spring? I mean, you drafted Bryce in April. He had all OTAs, mini camp, training camp. That kind of stuff bothers me more than some of the other things that I witnessed, and I'll get to those in a minute. But overall, man, it's just been – it's the same old with this offense. We thought preseason, you shouldn't overreact to it because it wasn't really much. They weren't really giving it away, which, fair, I can agree with that. But, man, it is – there are things happening with the offense that concerns me about the future of the quarterback, because I hope – and, again, I'm just giving you my perspective – I hope he isn't developing bad habits. And by that, I mean – we're seeing a similar situation in Chicago. Whatever you think about the quarterback over there, he's developed bad habits for 2 or 3 years because of the situation around him, and now he's really struggling in a pretty much make or break year. My concern level is still at a 3 or 4 out of 10. I'm not there yet, but I'm just worried that, you know, the skill, talent, the scheme, everything, it's not conducive to success. I mean, you're certainly — there are going to be rookie mistakes here and there, but the holding the ball on too long, trying to, you know, run away from NFL level defenders, like, you know, those are things that should not be happening. And again, he'll make mistakes, I get that, but I'm just a little worried about everything that's going on with this offense. And you know, it led to what we saw last night. And, you know, I'll try to, you know, present a more optimistic scenario. I did think the last drive of the game was encouraging. He made some nice throws. But overall,
They're in prevent, though, Billy. It doesn't count. I mean, come
on. Yeah, no, look, I mean, I thought he
did a good job.
He was asked to do.
It's a hell of a throw.
A touchdown.
Pylon there.
Yeah, that sail route to Mingo was very, you know, impressive. You know, but overall, John, I just think, like, you know, this offense, it's certainly a worry for me. And again, I'm not making the comparison. I'm just telling you the production, from a production standpoint, that was very reminiscent of games that I saw with when Jimmy Clausen was a QB. And again, I'll be very clear. No. I'm not making that comparison.
Well, no.
I'm just telling you that type of production, well, I haven't seen it since 2010.
Yeah, and look, here's what I think. There's an important conversation to be had about this. Number one, again, I'm not interested so much, at least from my angle, in going berserk over the top, and I know you're not either, and you've always been like the level head dude on this show, and also not giving anybody a pass. Look, I'm fortunate enough to have credentials this year for the Fox iHeartRadio, and I was talking to Frank today in the presser, the Zoom, and I asked him about Frankie Louvu, among other things. You know, others like Mike K and Joe and all those guys are sort of pressing him a little bit more on, you know, what are we doing offensively? What's the idea? What's the Andy Dalton package? What is this? I've got some updates on that, by the way, we can talk about. It's interesting. Look, when you go to training camp and you cover it, this is why I'm always weary to give too much, like, deep dive detail on, like, day-to-day stuff. Because until, number one, you see, like, another team come to your turf and kick you in the teeth a little bit, you really don't get a true sense of who you are as a team. And then you get that first preseason game, which, again, that can be misleading, but maybe not so much for Carolina, when the Jets came to town against their first team offense and they boat raced them right out of the building. And that concerned me when that happened. This offensive line, and I was talking to a guy that you and I both know, and you know who he is, and he's a former Eagles scout, and he knows the Frank Reich operation. We're not going to say his name on the show, but he's very reputable. And I've talked to him a little bit about this today. And he said, you know, Frank some people don't view him as a great play caller. They view him as a guy that can be the CEO type. That's not a conversation that I really want to have tonight. We can. I can tell you Frank is not giving up the dinner menu right now. Now, if that happens mid-season, that feels like it's got David Tepper written all over it. And I hope that doesn't happen for that sake. I don't know if Thomas Brown is ready, but what we're seeing so far, my concerns were in the Jets game. That was flat. There were concepts there that were vanilla. Okay, that's preseason. Got it. You come into that Atlanta game, it's twofold for me. Number one, the operational issues and the situational penalties. What was critical in that game, and it probably cost them the game in a lot of ways, Sam Franklin, the special teams captain, gets a holding out of bounds on a punt that was shanked. And then they get two other penalties outside of that, one of which was on Bryce, and Bryce took ownership of it. But you got to protect your rookie quarterback by getting the damn play call in. How many times did we talk about that under Rule and even under Rivera at times? There is no reason for that staff. And again, I like these guys, but and they know this too. Frank is very stand-up about this stuff. He doesn't deflect. He said they got to be better, but you can only say that so many times. Week two is here. Week three is down the road. There's no reason for the tempo not to be there. Well, look back at Alabama. I was looking at games today. Like O'Brien, they had the call in. Again, it's college, but, you know, Bryce had a clean operation there. And you're right about the amount of money and capital spent on this offensive staff. They have a big hand in this right now. McCown, Thomas Brown, starts with Frank Reich, of course, Sean Jefferson. I know there's not the most dynamic playmakers on the perimeter. But again, some of this is Mickey Mouse stuff. Like, they come out in the first play of the game, Billy, and they're in pistol, and they're running pistol a lot, and that's fine. Maybe you have an opinion on that. I don't know. But they're running pistol. It's 2x2, two tight ends, two wide. And they run like they run a sail. They run an OVS concept to Tommy Tremble. The Tremble's underneath, actually, and they're running Ian sort of out to the sail, and they've got two verticals. It's a shot play, which is great, but you've got two young guards in there, and neither one of them held up. And within 3.5 seconds, when you're trying to take a vertical shot, when Ian Thomas cannot get any separation, you're already, you know, almost taking a sack there. That was a precursor of just what was going to be a game to me that Billy resembled in a lot of ways aesthetically and just flow of the game. The Saints game against the Panthers on Monday night back in 2018. Cam Newton, when he couldn't throw the ball more than 5 yards, it felt like that. There were routes, buddy, late in the game or early in the game where Bryce is scrambling. And there was a play, I think, where Thielen or Mingo ran into Sanders on the sideline. They collided. There's routes near the end zone where there's two or three guys literally together in the same area of the field. And look, I'm no Bill O'Brien, but I know route concepts when I see it. There is just some broken stuff going on here. One more point I'll make, and we'll get into some of the stats here. Our good buddy Mike Kay, you know, hats off to him. He likes a good debate, and we love Mike. But Mike pressed, you know, Frank on this. Nobody else did. And I wish I had the gall to do it or the mindset to do it. Look, it's a passing league. I get that. But they ran the ball how many times in this game? What, 13, 14 times? And they gave up on it. This game was 6-3 at halftime. You had some good runs early. How do you get a Kwanu going? How do you get this young combo of guards going? Now you got three guards playing at once. You get them out in space, get them running a little bit. Let Camp and Cook with these guys. I don't know, man. They're not insulating Bryce at all. These weapons are just not consistent. Thielen is good in the red zone. We talked about that all offseason. He's a red zone threat. He's good in short space, but he got pretty good separation last night at some routes. Mingo's so far not doing too good, but it's a young season for him. Marshall's nowhere to be found. The tight ends are not involved at all, which we asked Frank about. We asked Bryce about last night. Bryce said, and I didn't put this on Twitter. I didn't want people to read it the wrong way. He said, that's not a me call. And Bryce didn't mean it that way, but if you put it on Twitter, people are going to say, well, there it is. Give the play sheet to Thomas Brown. Billy, it's not good. The defense is playing too well. Shaq Thompson's now out for the year. There's no splinter in the locker room. They like him. They like the coach. They respect him. It's a tight-knit group. It's Bryce is fine. Mentally, he's fine. Physically, he's fine. But he's getting hit a lot. And if they're going to run this much vertical stuff in the passing game and this much empty with you know, five-man protections and eliminate the running game after you pay Miles Sanders, I'm just speaking on behalf of the fans. You know, goddamn, just let's get simplify. You're overcomplicating this whole damn offense to the point where, what do you got to show for it? 17 points one game, 10 points the other? Eddie Pinheiro is your main source of manufacturing points right now. So I'm frustrated for the fans, but I would encourage you, just let's pump the brakes on wanting to fire everybody. Let's pump the brakes on giving up on Young. And look at the stat sheets for C.J. Stroud and Richardson if you want. We'll be talking about that for years, I'm sure. I just say, look,
hey,
the NFL's...
You know me, bro. I was... Never mind.
Wait, hey, look, I'll stand up. I was C.J. Stroud for a while, and then I turned the corner on Bryce Young, and I said, look, all things considered, it makes sense with Reich and this staff, and it's just not clicking yet. And that's this. By the time they get into week one, I don't expect them to throw Cam Newton numbers the first 2 weeks of the season. They don't. He didn't have the weapons Cam had that first year. They had everybody. But I expect more than this. This offensive line is bad, and the operation, that's the best way I've heard it put yet. It's just not clean. I don't know what to attribute it to other than Frank typically starts slow. They always start slow under Reich, and he usually rallies. So maybe that's just part of the DNA there. I like him a lot. It's not personal. It's just he understands, you know, you got to do better than this.
Yeah, well, nothing is personal here. I mean, I'm just saying, I was just pointing out that you and I were very vocal supporters of Shane Steichen. So
we were. Well, that's true. So, and Ben Johnson.
What
Ben
happened Johnson, there? It seemed like there was some reporting about a bad interview, which is baloney in my opinion. Looking at what they're doing, it seems like,
hey, let me interrupt. I wanted Ben Johnson from the beginning because my boss knows him from AC whatever high school in Asheville. He went up there, and I love his offense. So, but when they got Reich and they started staffing the way they did, you know, we all got stars in our eyes, and I think, you know, fans are disappointed because they expected that to translate immediately into wins when players play, and right now it's just not that good because the offensive line, I mean, this Saints defensive line just gave him hell last night. I mean, they gave him hell.
Yeah, and the thing is like, I don't necessarily think this Saints defensive line is that good. Like, Brisset and Foskey, two starters, are both rookies. Like, and it's not like either one of them were like top 10 picks.
Yeah,
Brisset was like a top five high school player, but he, I mean,
these aren't, yeah, it's not Chris Jones here.
Exactly. So it's just like, I mean, I don't know. And that the biggest thing with the running game is this: last year you established an identity with an offensive coordinator that his history comes from throwing the ball a lot.
Exactly.
But you were able to establish an identity that you're going to, you know, create this physical monster and run the ball. It didn't matter who the running back was. I mean, their running game after they traded McCaffrey with, you know, the guys like Hubbard, Blackshear, and whoever else was part of that rotation, it was a thing of beauty. That Seattle game, I mean, it was just awesome to watch.
The Detroit game, they ran for 350 yards.
Exactly. So, I mean, was that just a Steve Wilkes thing? Was that? I mean, the offensive line coach is still here.
Hey, I'm going to tell you right now. Well, you're missing Corbett's probably the best guard they've had here in a while. So, I mean, look, one guy doesn't make the whole thing go, but I think he's much better than what they've got in there right now. And I like Cade, and I like, you know, I guess Throckmorton's a pretty good guy too, but I don't know much about him. In fact, I'm going to just repeat myself here. I don't know much about Throckmorton. I just know Cade Mays was drafted from Tennessee. I know Zavala is a good prospect, but Christensen was a solid guard in that rotation last year. Zavala's going to be fine, I think, although there's some moments of growth there. Last year, Billy, you know the deal. I mean, it started with the Rams game where it was horizontal passing, but then they realized, okay, here's our best way to win. We want to win. We don't want to screw around. These guys are hungry to compete. And by the way, the division sucks. We might sneak in the playoffs. They damn near did. They took the air out of the ball, and they insulated their quarterback, and they played to this offensive line strength. This offensive line, we talked about this, Billy, it's constructed for what they did last year. Ekwonu, Bozeman in particular, these guys that did have the center of gravity and the frame they do and the kind of the playing style in the traits. These are run blockers. They're road graders. And then you pay Miles Sanders, which I'm going to be honest, I don't dislike him. I didn't quite get it at the time. If you're not going to use him in the way maybe Philly used him early on, which is screen game, let's get the wheel routes going with him and run the ball with him. You paid him the money. You've got good offensive linemen that know how to get in. the great equalizer for an injured offensive line. We saw this with Handgardner and those guys back there. Remember with Fox, when those guys got hurt, they bring in Handgardner or Schwartz. Run it. Just freaking run it, and you'll be fine. You keep these guys on their heels all day. And then the other complicating factor that the scout told me last night, Bryce, man, you got to get used to how to pass block for this guy, because he can get a little dodgy at times, and he likes to create, and it's a different element. And that's what we talked about preseason, at least I did. Don't assume Campen's going to roll in here and they're just going to bully people up. That he's got to understand a whole new offensive scheme, and they got to understand that preseason games are going to be what they're going to be. When the lights come on, you got two tough divisional opponents who, you know, Ryan Nielsen, you know, Dennis Allen, these guys are cut from the same cloth. It's the same exact structure almost. And they just got after it. And it's very concerning that they couldn't have won these games, or they really just kind of beat themselves up on this shit. It's just credit to Atlanta, credit to the Saints, but damn, that game last night was right in their hands, and it's almost like they're asking to lose. And it's so weird because you're coming from the Matt Rhule era where that was all about just incompetence. Frank's a good coach. He's a good enough coach where he's beaten some good teams on the road. He's been in the playoffs, but man, nothing's guaranteed, man. Every year's different. That's the whole point about last year being what it was. Everybody's saying, well, we were one game out of the playoffs. Well, it's a new year. You got three teams at 2-0, and they're pretty damn good. So, you know, maybe you should reevaluate your expectations for this year, fans. And it's early, but maybe get your expectations calibrated around maybe like Billy and I do. Analyze the quarterback. Let's see his growth, and playoffs will be when they're going to be. I didn't see it preseason, and this team is way too flawed operationally, offensively, and they don't have any separation in the passing game consistently.
Well, and again, that just gets back to just so many of the issues that are currently compounding this team. And I just don't understand why they have, I mean, even just running the ball, I think it matters, but I also think how you run the ball matters. And what I'm watching right now are the same.
Some of the biggest names in sports.
Head coach Shane Beamer of South Carolina Gamecocks.
And that, how do you, the best way to fit? And I just don't get it. Like, I watched some of, Reich's teams in Indianapolis, and they had a pretty diverse run game. I'm just not seeing that here.
Yeah, they had Jonathan Taylor, too, and he used him.
I get that, but it's like I'm a little tired of these excuses about he had this, he had that. Like,
No, I'm saying they have Miles is a big money back. I mean, this is what I'm saying. I'm not comparing him to Taylor. I'm saying you've got a back you paid pretty good running back money for. No, I'm with you. I mean, there's no need to
I don't get it. Like, it's still a close game.
Yes.
Like, at least just try to run the ball. Like, I don't care if you have to do it three times. Like, try to establish some body blows, because right now you have a quarterback that is struggling. All right, you have a quarterback that is struggling, and you have to protect him, and it's going to open up other areas of the field. And for my money right now, I don't think they are doing a very good job with play sequencing, play design.
I agree.
And certainly they're not playing to the player strengths. And so
the third point is the biggest point. The player strengths, they're playing away from them, all of them, even Bryce.
Yeah, if I'm a defensive coordinator, I'm just – going to play man coverage against these wide receivers and hope they beat me. Because, I mean, look, Adam Thielen had how many targets last night? Nine? Seven or nine?
Thielen ended up, let me get it for you, he had nine targets, seven receptions, 7.7 yards per catch.
That's just unacceptable.
It's small ball. It's not even Ricky Prohl was in that territory.
Look, Adam Thielen, let's just be real. He's not Adam Thielen 2017.
Of course,
right?
He's
this
not.
Guy. With all due respect,
he's a good number three, number two.
But I don't think he's very good. And I'm very consistent in my analysis with that. Chark is Chark. He's not 100% healthy. I could tell last night.
Big surprise.
And Mingo is a developing player, and he had his struggles as well. So overall, there just has to be a better execution and game plan. And I just think they're making life very hard on Bryce Young when his best – pass catchers are a kind of diminishing Adam Thielen and Hayden Hurst. And Hurst didn't really get his first target until the fourth quarter.
No, he was shut out for a while. And that was because.
So I'm very, very disappointed with this coaching staff right now. Obviously, I think it also comes down to the personnel that this front office has given the coaching staff.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just a bad mix. And what? Right now, like, yeah. I'm honestly like a little disturbed at just how poorly they played.
And you offer,
I need to see it to believe it.
Exactly.
When it comes to getting better. Cause I'm not going to predict them to play better in the future weeks until I see it.
Well, there's no need to, because you're looking at a schedule coming up again. I'm in the mindset this year more than ever, one week at a time. Like Belichick said, Seattle. That's all I'm thinking about. I know Vikings with Brian Flores loom, and Brian, last time we saw him defensively in Carolina, he cooked up Cam Newton pretty good. And this line's looking a little more like that than the one last year. Then again, you are what you are, and this line is once again, they're playing away from their strengths. Moten, again, is a good pass blocker, but he got cooked a little bit last night at times. And Cam Jordan still got it. Again, this is not a world-beater front seven. I think Granderson had the front four, at least. Granderson had the strip sack on Young. Another critical turnover in a bad situation. I'm seeing just an incohesiveness to this offense that should not be that way, but it's the chicken or egg. What is it? Is it incohesive because they finally realized, well, we line up in NFL games, the quarterback is new to this league as any rookie is, and he does not have the design that Steichen has given Richardson, because Richardson can withstand that. He's built for that game. It's perfect up there. It's gimmicky. Yes, I get it, but it's not gimmicky at the same time. It's built to his strengths. It's brilliant. And I said from the beginning,
that's my issue. Like, why can't they develop an offense like that?
Well, that's the thing. What does that look like? It doesn't look like this. This is not anything. And again, we talked about the one thing that impressed me as much as anything with Bryce last year with O'Brien in Alabama is the receivers there were not as good as they were in the past. And relative to competition, Bryce is used to this, but this is like, look, I'm not trying to be comical here, but this is Keystone Cop stuff I'm seeing. I'm seeing guys falling down on their own after routes. Hubbard does that at times. I'm seeing guys running into each other. And it's just an absolute disappointment so far. Not that they're losing, but the fact that they're this, I'm not going to use the word unprepared or unprofessional. I would never do that. But this inconsistent with the execution.
It's very elementary.
It's basic shit. And it's so frustrating. I think that's what got fans so pissed off right now. And I get it. And look, people can say, oh, here comes the negative Roar podcast. I don't give a shit. We're fair. We're always fair. And I think everybody's kind of in the same boat right now. I've been as optimistic about a lot of things as anybody out there in terms of with Young. I saw enough on tape. I watched the whole tape twice. He's doing what he can, but you can poison a quarterback real quick, as you said. We've seen it with other guys by putting him in bad situations early. Burrow survived it. It was bad early there, but they still had some weapons they were building around. They don't have any dynamic playmakers. Al Wallace was sitting beside me at the game, former Panthers defensive, and he kept saying to me, take a shot. And look, the couple times Bryce has taken a shot, and Al made this observation too, the throws are just a little flat. Again, I can't nitpick on Bryce, but he's missed a couple shots. But there's not a lot of shots there. They eventually took one and got a PI, but there's just a reluctance right now. I'm a little disappointed in Bryce in so much that there are times where I think there are throws that are there in real time, and then I go back and watch the All-22, and it's like, I don't know. I think Bryce sees something there where he's kind of scarred by those two picks. He knows ball security is key. He doesn't want to throw another pick, and I get it. You got Chenault. I don't know what they're doing with him. I have no idea what they're doing deployment-wise with him. He's at fullback at times. They've got him wide. They do an orbit motion, but not incorporating him in any sort of misdirection. The angles are bad. There's no good spacing out there. And Sanders, again, he's a 1,200-yard running back that they're barely using. It's early. I get it. And give the Saints credit, because I don't think they give up a lot of points at all, but that defense could have been had. They could have been had. They had shots.
I'm not like that defense is certainly good, but I don't think
they're not
by any stretch of the imagination they're this good.
It's not the best you're going to face. I can tell you that.
Yeah, so I don't think they're good. Like in the fact that one touchdown in two games like defines them. I don't think they're that good. As far as Chenault's concerned, I don't think he's a solution to anything on the receiving end. But I do think that they need to use him more when it comes to running the football. Get him in the lined up in the backfield and just run the ball. Like,
he's their best power back.
I'm just trying to think of solutions to jumpstart your offense, because the offense, I'm going to be real with you, the passing offense is not going to be jumpstarted
anytime soon. No, it's going to look like this for a while. No,
I don't see it. And I don't know where the help, the help is certainly not coming in the form of pass catchers anytime soon. Not until next March or April when the offseason returns.
Yeah.
You know, the offensive line, like there are some guys that could come back and, you know, they could certainly, you know, help out in a couple areas. But yeah, they just need to kind of really play into their strengths, figure out a way to run the ball, and then set up play action. We'll do that same formula that you were implementing last year with the, you know, and Baker Mayfields and P.J. Walkers and Sam Darnolds of the world.
People keep saying you need Foreman back. Look, Foreman's on the bench with the Bears, and I like Deontay Foreman, but this is more about the structure, your blocking schemes and your blocking attitude and your commitment to the running game, which, again, running with a purpose is much more important than running for just running. You have to be able, like Billy, last night in the fourth quarter at some point, one stat I always like to keep in the press box, and I've done this since high school days where I covered high school. What's your average yard to gain on second down? It's a simple elementary stat. At one point, it was 9.7 yards for the Panthers.
Oh,
second and 9.7. That's hell. People talk about third down. It's hell. They ran the ball six times on first down in the game. They averaged 1.7 yards per carry on those. And one of those was a 10-yard holding call that didn't even count. It's awful. And
it's unacceptable.
I like so much of what they have in place there, but culture means zip until you start winning.
Yeah, look, it's very just frustrating to watch. And I do think there are ways to mitigate what we've been witnessing. I mean, just look at, you know, Thomas Brown's former team, the Rams. I mean, they found a guy in the fifth round of the draft, Puka Nacua, and suddenly, you know, he's putting up all these crazy numbers. Now, yes, I certainly agree that Stafford is a much more accomplished and physically, better quarterback. But again, that's my intrigue with Thomas Brown comes from the fact that I'm seeing all of these McVay guys, a guy that he worked under, have a lot of success in the NFL calling plays, whether that's Sean or McDaniel or LaFleur or O'Connell. Look at, you know, the situation in Seattle, and, you know, one of the Seattle guys is now in Tampa. So it's like a, you know, combination mixture of all of these guys across the league who have really just, imprinted this type of offense.
Before, I mean, Jim Caldwell came in midseason with the Ravens and got that thing going. Remember the Super Bowl year? And it's a while back, but it's not unprecedented. And Frank's going to be continued to be. Look, it's the first question that comes up, and I'm reluctant to ask it because I know what he's going to say, and I know enough people are in the building that are telling me how Frank's thinking, and I know enough people that know Frank's background to know that he's going to be really reluctant, not as an ego mechanism, but just like there's a control factor to this that he feels like it's the best thing for the team. Maybe he feels like Brown needs a little more time. Maybe Brown has not raised his hand and said, I'm ready to do this. Maybe that hasn't even been discussed, but they need
to.
There is some intrigue about that with what McVay was able to do with Goff early in his career with these in his ear. As far as I understand now from asking somebody with the Panthers last night, and maybe this is not breaking news to you, Billy, but it's Frank's in his ear. It's not the pass over to because that was my initial thought, this clock issue. Maybe the plays are going to McCown and then McCown's talking to Young. Look, it's Frank's team, and like I respect his ability to guide teams and to be a quarterback specialist in a way. But it's not like it's a sterling track record all across the board there. He's had some really good moments and some unfortunate moments as a coach. And look, this I would say this, you can't keep doing these equivalencies like, well, Frank Reich has started 1-4 and 1-3. Well, these are much different situations, much different. Bryce looks overwhelmed out there, and it's not to say that he is overwhelmed. He looks overwhelmed because he is facing a lot of pressure, five-man rushes, six-man rushes at times, and press coverage from guys that can't get open. And the two of the longest plays of the season for the Panthers, two of the four longest plays, have been Bryce Young scrambles, Billy. Bryce Young scrambles. Two of the top four explosive plays, 24 yards, 26 yards, and 16 yards. They have three plays over 20 yards. So, again, we're not drilling a hole in this. We know what the team has got to do. They've got a shot at Seattle. I mean, they got a shot every week. You go in there, it's a team that gave up a lot of points last week to a much better Detroit offense, but we'll talk about that game later. It is, again, I wanted to get that off my chest because I don't want people to think I'm a pawn for the team. I'm going to keep it real here on the show, and they know that. It's fair. They're all tough guys. There's other people that used to work in that building that are no longer there, maybe out Midwest, a little more sensitive. It's not how they roll there. They understand you can take a punch, so... Andy Dalton, what are we doing here, Billy, with the goal line stuff? Talk to me about that.
Well, yeah, even just going back to that operation, I mean, you bring in Dalton and Cade Mays gets a false start, and now you're forced to kick a long field goal. It's so many things just frustrating. Yeah. And I actually don't mind Dalton bringing him in for short yardage. I really don't.
He trusts him. He did it with Brissett.
He did it with Brissett. I mean, other teams, I mean, the Browns did it with Brissett last year, too, even when Watson was a starter. So I have zero problem using Dalton in that situation.
Bryce is not built for that, and it's just more the narrative that he's too small to play, and I don't even care about that narrative. It's whatever it takes to get the yard. And then they did the flip 90 play off that or the edge, and it worked, and that's good creative stuff. I mean, it's not all bad here, but the offensive line looks lost, Billy. I mean, I'm watching the tape again, and I'm really paying attention to just where they are. They don't look like they're having a good time here. I mean, how could you? You're dropping back 40 times against a really decent front that likes to get after it, pin their ears back. With Chenault, here's another guy that, you know, I liked his involvement. I just would like them to keep him confined to where he's best because you kind of telegraph immediately what he's going to do for you. They know what he's not going to do. He's not going to be a boundary guy. He's not going to be running posts. He's going to be, you know, the orbit motion, quick screen hitter, and, you know, jet sweep and Debo-esque light type of guy. And he's good at that.
Just line him up in the backfield. Line him up.
And they benched.
Just turn him into a second running back. Like, there's no need to overcomplicate this.
I get it. They benched Blackshear.
He is not an NFL wide receiver.
Nope.
He will never be an NFL wide receiver. That's just not his game. He is a very good player when the ball is in his hands, but the issue is getting the ball in his hands. As a running back, just give him the ball, you know, let it play out. And I think you have a lot more options as far as your creativity with him when he is lined up in the backfield. You can go play action, run a screen to him, you can go play action, he can run a wheel route, you can get in the backfield and he can run a wheel route where he's not facing press coverage. You can have him run a middle Texas route. Or a flat route.
It's a good.
Make him a running back.
Yeah.
He is not a wide receiver, period. That is not going to help the situation. He just isn't. That's not his game. That's never who he's been. No. In college, he struggled. And in the NFL, it's carried over.
Yeah.
He is a running back. And that should be where his position is. Debo Samuel is not a very good comparison for him because Debo Samuel is a very good wide receiver.
Debo can do everything, but, you know, in terms of the run element, short areas, I mean, there's a probably better comp out there. I'm watching a play right now on tape where he's lined up at fullback. I mean, and it's a lead run play, and they're running away from the lead block side. It's just little things like that. Like Al Wallace last night was looking at it, and he's like, what the hell are they doing? Like, they run, it's a dot the I formation. He's running right on the lead block, and Sanders runs left into a pile of garbage.
Just pound the ball to him. Give him the rock and see where it goes.
Yeah, but he shouldn't be lined up as a fullback, lead blocking the wrong way. I mean, just, I don't know. It's long season. This is not how I thought we'd be spending the first couple weeks. I actually thought one of the bigger issues would be teams would be just absolutely running roughshod over this defensive line. They've been decent. Taysom Hill got some fun yards last night out of that, and that was smart by Dennis Allen. They knew the game. They knew what they were up against, and they took a physical guy like Chenault in their court. I guess bad comp there, but that's the closest thing I think of that Carolina would have. Dot the I back there and just let him take off and run some power game and get easy.
That's the thing with Taysom. He's a good runner.
He's a good runner. And Carolina is got a couple athletes like that, but you know they're not gonna. Frank, we're gonna find out how rigid he is. I didn't follow his career in Indy that closely. I know there was a game against Tampa where I think there was an RPO controversy. Like, was there a game where he wasn't giving the ball to Taylor and he had a big press conference afterwards and he talked real extensively about the RPO game? I don't remember specifically, but I know there have been times where
it doesn't really ring a bell for me.
His play calling has come under fire at times. I think it was more about the Wentz thing and how he felt like that was the quarterback and they kept going in circles. But I keep going back and I try to look at some old like Indy tape like over the offseason and I've just stopped doing that. It's like, because this is a brand new operation. There's a lot of pieces that weren't there with Frank. But he's got the play sheet, and look, something's got to give. You got what you got weapons-wise. I don't want to overblow this thing in that these guys are complete poverty. They're probably bottom end in terms of skill receivers in the league. We know that. And I'm not going to apologize for saying that as a group. Go prove it wrong. Go have 100-yard games. Get loose. Get open. And then the protection's got to get in alignment with these route concepts that are taking 4 or 5 seconds. I'm looking at something real quick from Mike Kay. He's tweeted this out from the Panthers, a depth chart update. And to your point, Chenault is not listed as a back. I didn't expect that, but they've updated the depth chart and now they've got Terrace is buried on the depth chart. Now it's weird. Amir Marcet is second string wide receiver. I'm just looking at this right now off the cuff, but yeah, it's, man, I don't know, Bill. We'll talk about the defense in a minute, I guess. But offensively, I was thinking about you last night. We were texting, and I know you and I kind of censor our text for the show here because we let it fly on the phone there. But this is not good football. We know that, and they know that. Hell, they know that. They don't want to look like this. But can they be better than this? Like you said, is there anything available out there, with the exception of the guards coming back or one of them, that makes them better? You got to change your approach here.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Yep, totally agree. Defensively, I mean, look, it wasn't perfect, but it was certainly winning football.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think anyone could disagree with that. I mean, anytime you can sack the quarterback, what was it, 6 times?
Let me take a look. They've got it credited as 3.
Really?
Yeah, they had 3. Well, no, that's not right. Hold on. LeVue had 2. Grugier Hill had 1. Justin Houston and YGM split 1. Yeah, it's only 3. They hit the quarterback more than that, but that's what I'm the Panthers' stat chart here. Yeah, it was 3, but they got to him a lot. Yeah, go ahead, Bill. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I'm just going to say, like, obviously, you know, Derek Carr and the Saints offense, they put up a bunch of yards, 341 yards, but, as far as, like, this defense is concerned, I thought they'd certainly made plays, enough plays to win this game. And that's just like, you know, the really disappointing thing about last night. And I mean, you wasted a good defensive effort. And certainly you're playing without JC Horn. You played the majority game without Shaq Thompson. And you just had players come in and step up. And again, I mean, Henderson and Jackson, they each gave up long pass receptions, but yeah, I thought Henderson was in really good coverage against Olave.
He
just made an excellent catch, and Jackson bit on the double move to Shaheed late in that fourth quarter, and
the same play they ran last week against Tennessee.
Yeah, so I mean, credit to Carr and Shaheed for doing that, 2 weeks in a row and the clutch. But no, I mean, I don't think, I mean, Derek Carr did not play well last night. He was struggling, and the interception that he threw to Von Bell, it was just a very poor decision. And at that point, I really felt that Carolina was getting into his head. But, look, it's I think.
Yeah, but Bill, real quick, Bill, right after the interception, what happened four plays later? Fumble.
Yeah,
that's the season in a nutshell. That's so irritating. Hey, it's John Ellis from the Roar Podcast, Blue Wire, for PrizePicks.com. The most fun I've had winning up to 25 times my money this football season is right here at PrizePicks.com. You select two or more players, pick more or less on their projected stats, and place your entry. It's easy as that. Testing my skills on PrizePicks this football season, it's an exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $250 with just a few taps. Prize Picks offers weekly promotions that can lead to big payouts like Taco Tuesday. Each Tuesday, Prize Picks discounts select player projections up to 25% to provide even more value. Prize Picks now offers Apple Pay for quick and easy deposits into your account this football season. This week on PrizePicks.com, I'm going with our old friend, Christian McCaffrey. He's facing the Giants. I'm going more than 79.5 rushing yards for the former Panthers back. On the other hand, Ramondre Stevenson for the Patriots going against the Jets. I'm going less than 50.5 yards for the New England running back. It's time to get started. Go to prizepicks.com/roar and use the code ROAR for your first deposit match of up to $100. Again, that's prizepicks.com/roar. Use the code ROAR for a first deposit match of up to $100.
But overall, like, it's just, it was very demoralizing for this defense because you just can't be on the field for that long. And they really did do their best to try to keep them in the game as much as they could.
Yeah.
But I mean, look, you're holding a team to 20 points and you should still, help them out. And this offense is partially the reason why the offense is the reason why they lost the game. But I'm going to say the offense is also partially why the defense gave up, some scores at the end because they were just gassed.
Yeah, it was kind of like, not to the degree that it was in the Super Bowl against the Falcons and Patriots, but it kind of had that feel where the play count distribution is 74-56 disparity. It was worse than that in the third quarter, and it was like 2-1 at one point. Embarrassingly bad. Yeah. Third downs were terrible again. They were 4-14, and some of that was late. First down production, at one point they were averaging 0.3 or 4 yards per play. They had several penalties on first down. Let's see, total penalties in this game, 6 for 35. That's improvement, but still not great. So they're plus 3 in the penalty margin. Turnovers were even, but again, it literally was an even turnover game because here, I gift you an arm punt, and then, oh yeah, you're going to fumble. It's just, they made it way too hard there. But no, you're right. They were gassed. They were rotating guys in. And, I don't have any official word on this, and I don't even want to speculate. I don't want to start a shitstorm on this show because he's a polarizing guy for a lot of people. But Brian Burns was seen often and early and often in that fourth quarter rotating in and out of the lineup, and it didn't look like something was quite right. I do not even want to speculate if it was a hamstring or just something minor. I reached out to the team. There was no official report on an injury, and I've reached out to some of our colleagues here with the media, and there's nothing they've heard. I talked to Brian personally after the game, after the gaggle ended, and I just dapped him up and said, "You doing okay? Everything good?" Seemed like he was good. He's I like him a lot. And I don't think that was a contract ploy at all. I want to get that off the table. I think there's something that he was dealing with physically in that moment that wasn't on the injury report necessarily, but that was interesting to see that YGM and others were getting snaps and it's late in the game. You got to get a stop. I thought Burns, to be fair, it wasn't his best game, but he had some nice pressures.
He was fine. I don't think he was great or anything.
I thought it was a decent game. I don't think he did as well as he did week one. But
I will say, it was a pretty interesting. And again, defensively, they were good. And I think the reason why Burns probably didn't have the production that many were expecting is that they lined him up on Ramchek's side, and that's the Ramchek is an all-pro caliber offensive tackle. The weaker players on the other side with Penning, and so maybe they wanted to give guys like Houston and YGM the opportunity to go against a more weaker offensive tackle per se, and certainly Houston had plenty of
flashes as a as an edge defender.
He looked good.
But yeah, no, it was interesting because I thought mainly that Burns, when I was watching, he was lined up on Ramchak's side, and he definitely got that pressure for the first Luvu sack. I don't really have many issues with Burns's play. I mean, you know, no, I'm not afraid to call him out.
I'm not either. No, but I mean, yeah, Burns, look, yeah, when he has bad games,
I thought he was fine.
I mean, I joked with him last night. I said, "Where's the sacks? Where's the damn sacks?" He's fine. He's a good dude. He gets it. And look, I don't know what kind of situation they're in with a contract. I don't really want to talk about it. That'll work itself out. Either he gets paid or he doesn't, and that's the business. He's a fine player, one of the better players at his position in the entire league, I do believe. I've been hyping him up all day. It's his birthday, but Frankie Luvu gets like my gold star of the week, that's even a segment. Jesus. Yeah, it's like gold star of the week presented by Prize Picks. We'll workshop that one a little bit. Frankie Luvu, holy shit. How about holy shit gold star player of the week? I don't want to overcook this, but Billy, I'm sitting there talking to a couple guys that used to play for this team, Eugene Robinson and Al Wallace, and I'm thinking on my own, okay, what Frankie's doing in this game, it's not all-time great, but it's right there in line with some of the better linebacker performances we've seen, and they were echoing that. They said there's some stuff going on with Luvu, and it doesn't show up in the stat sheet where he's getting in there and he's cracking the fullback. He's just relentless. He plays like Dan Morgan so much, Billy. He reminds me so much of Dan. And I hope he stays healthy. 3 tackles for loss, 2 sacks, one of which was on just one of these Cody Alexander exotic loops here where he's coming around and a great job in terms of the pressure. Yeah, I mean, he's just running some games up there. He is emerging as a guy. And again, there's no need to even rank he's the best defensive player, not Burns. I don't give a shit. He's really good, and he's a guy that, you know, that's Scott's issue to pay him what he's going to have to be paid. He's probably a Pro Bowl snub last year, and he's like at an all-pro type of level. I'm not going to be blasphemy and say he's on Fred Warner's level. That would be stupid, but he's emerging as a guy that you can count on. He's consistently around the ball. He doesn't make many mistakes. He wraps up. He's undercutting routes often. I mean, he's close to getting a pick six every time I watch him. I thought he was amazing last night, and I'm not even trying to be hyperbolic here. 2 quarterback hits, 3 tackles for losses, 2 sacks. He was a tempo setter, and credit Burns for some of that, for grabbing attention. I thought Sean Williams had a good game. I thought Xavier Woods was great. I thought Bell was outstanding. And then Shaq goes down with the injury, and there's consequences to that. I like Shaq a lot, Bill, but I'm praying that he comes back healthy and plays again. That's a bad injury. I'm not overly concerned about that, and that's not a knock on Shaq. I like their depth. I like Grugier Hill. I don't know if I like him as much as Shaq, but I do like the fact they got Deion Jones stashed on the practice squad. What are your thoughts on Thompson? Because, I mean, does that, in your mind, dramatically affect this defensive structure this year, or do you feel like a guy that was drafted in 2015, again, not knocking him, I just don't see it as a catastrophic loss, but it is a catastrophic injury for him.
Yeah, I don't see this as a catastrophic loss whatsoever, with all due respect to him. And obviously, you know, hate to see injuries, but...
Oh, absolutely.
His impact as a player, it's been kind of marginal the past couple of years.
Yeah.
You know, despite, you know, him receiving multiple contract extensions or contract reworkings, I just think, like, under the Phil Snow defensive administration, you know, they didn't really put a lot of stress on the linebackers as a whole. And I think we're seeing something similar with, you know, Evero's defense, where maybe the linebackers aren't necessarily like your Luke Kuechly, Thomas Davis, you know, Navarro Bowman, Patrick Willis type impacts. So, look,
he's not a liability, but it's a bit of a misfit.
Linebackers. I had no issues with the linebackers when he went out. Let's just say that.
I think, you know, there's an opportunity there. And again, Grugier Hill's had some good production over the years. He maybe fits what they want to do better. I'm not saying they're trying to squeeze Shaq out. He was the starter, the incumbent. He's a team captain. It sucks. But this is a football show, and we break down football. And I'm telling you right now, there's been some moments in games where guys, even like Burns and Shaq and guys that we revere as the core of this team, have not had terrific moments in the run game in particular. And I again, you're drafted in 2015. That's a long time ago. and I think he'll come back. Chin's an interesting one, Bill.
Because I mean, I'm just being real. Because this is
he's a coverage liability in that role.
I agree. I don't necessarily think he's perfect whatsoever. But he did make a really nice play when he coming on that blitz and then got his hand up. And I mean that just shows you his athleticism.
He's a freak. He plays downhill. But who would you take?
Plan is for him.
Yeah. Who you take out of the game in that hybrid linebacker role? You're not taking Luvu out. I mean, you've got how many linebackers you're going to play in this? You're playing nickel most of the time. So he's sitting there in a position where you're playing so much 11 personnel in this league. He's not going to match up against. Remember the old days against like Cleveland where Thomas Davis was lined up on a slot receiver with Ron and it was so frustrating. Like it's the same kind of feel. It's like they're not going to put him in that situation. I commend the coaching staff on the defensive side for. Look, he's a team captain maybe. He's one of the core guys for a while. And it's tough to see it for him. But football-wise, it's the right decision.
This brings me to like my final point as we wrap up this game, you know, it's really, really tough for any NFL team to go short week, Monday Night Football, West Coast trip.
Yeah.
All right. I know they won there last year, but one of the reasons was they were coming off a bye. So they were able to, you know, rest a week, then travel to the West Coast. And they had a lot of success running the ball in Seattle. So
Seattle couldn't stop the run. Their run defense sucked last year, too.
It's certainly improved this year, but pass defense wise, has it been good? And I'm just going to call it right now, folks.
The get right game.
I'm not projecting this pass offense to have a get right game until I see it just once.
Yeah.
And all I'm asking for is 200 yards passing.
Yeah, that 200 is kind of the baseline number you need to hit in the NFL to be considered a productive offense. I mean, you can't keep living in 90 yards passing in the third quarter.
Yeah, no, it's terrible. I mean, 146 and 153.
No, it sucks. But it's not good. It's indicative of what they've got to deal with right now.
So, yeah, no, I see this game upcoming with the Seahawks. It's a very, very tough. It's what, you know, a lot of NBA fans will call a schedule loss just because short week, travel to the West Coast to face Seattle, which is coming off a win. And they're obviously, they were projected to be a good team this year. They had, you know, a struggle week one. But, yeah, I don't know. I think this is going to be a very tough opponent. And then the next 3 weeks after that, with the Vikings coming into town, you have the lot. You have to go to Detroit. You have to go to Miami.
Revenge game.
I mean, those are like.
And McDaniel.
I'm going to be real with you. You're looking potentially at an 0-6 start.
You could be.
I would love to be wrong.
Well, I mean, that's the reality of where they are. They're already a third of the way there. So, I mean, you've spent some cash already, if you will. And if you want to look at the league that way, which I used to as a teenager, like, oh, we've already spent $2. We've lost two games. Now we can't spend any at the end of the year. That's a very basic way of looking at it. I'm 1 week at a time, Johnny, so it's all on Seattle. But, no, you look ahead, and I've seen that schedule, and I know what's ahead. That schedule can change fast with one injury here or there. But, man, even if Miami has one injury or two injuries, they're still markedly better. So is Minnesota. And, again, I know they're not loaded with defensive talent. They've overturned the roster a lot, but Brian Flores scares the living hell out of me with what he might do schematically. I mean, they'll just go cover zero. You know, I mean, who's going to get free on that? I don't even think they've got tremendous defensive backs, but who cares? Until, like you said, this is not a knock on the players or Frank. It's the reality. You got to show us something. And maybe they will. And this team does that with us. It has over the years. Like all of a sudden last year, remember they went to LA and got boat raced and it was just Robbie Anderson got barked off the field. And I'm like, oh boy, this is Perry Fuel season all over again. And Steve proved to be more than competent. Even in that, they got killed by the Bengals on the road. And the Steelers
that
came
was
into
a
town.
Schedule loss.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not all perfect, but like things can turn fast, but this team has to. Like Steve did with that team last year, give him credit. They flipped their identity, and they decided, okay, look, this is not complicated. If I'm Frank Reich, I'm like, look, I'm Frank Reich. This is my offensive structure. I almost feel like, and I don't know Frank enough to know if this is the case. It feels like, Billy, Bryce, this is the shit. We're running it, and he doesn't cuss, but this is the stuff. We're running it. I'm not making any changes. Get used to it. You've got to learn it. And a lot of coaches like Gruden have been like that over the years. I don't know if Frank is that rigid or not. I don't know his history that well. But through two games, it feels like it. the amount of pass to run ratio in a close game like that was really discouraging. With the lack of a better word out there, really discouraging for an offensive line that works too damn hard. Put them in that situation where they're, you know, spinning around like tops like that against a front that's still very good. Line up and just hit them in the mouth and see what you can get. You had some runs early. So that's what I do in Seattle. You go there, who knows what the weather will be. I don't know yet, but that's a team that they're a little better in the run game. I know Jamal Adams is questionable. Mike Morris, Boye Mafe, questionable. They'll probably play. Pete Carroll is an intense coach. He knows how to get guys up for big challenges. And, you know, they're looking to, I'm sure, be the latest team to kind of put a knock on this number one overall pick. You got a target on your back when you're the big guy. So, but again, I want to emphasize the last thing I'm worried about with this team right now is the things we saw on tape from this quarterback. And I still see those flashes on tape. I just don't see enough consistency around him to give him opportunities to hit those Mingo shots on the sail route consistently. That's not on Bryce. And this front office and coaching staff either needs to weather the storm this year with what they have and simplify the plan to 25 passes a game or some Matt Rule stat. I don't know what you do, but you get back to bully ball. But who are your bullies? I mean, can Miles do it? It was a much different structure. You had Jalen Hurts run conflict offense last year that really helped Miles with that. And that offensive line. So I'm just telling you right now, this is not last year. This is not assuming you can go into Seattle and run for 200 yards. Much different year. And this is not to be discouraging, man. I put a lot of stuff out there about my positivity about Bryce, my optimism about Bryce. But like you said best a couple weeks ago, the measurement of success is not necessarily 8, 9, 10 wins. It's are we seeing a movement upward with Bryce's game, his development? And that's what these coaches were paid a lot of money to come do, the all-star cast, with Caldwell, too, in the mix. So if they can't do it, might be kind of a mind fuck, excuse the word, but to bring him in and have all this coaching around him, but then he's got two new guards in and no separation with the weapons. They got to figure that out. And he's got to be mentally tough enough to handle it and go through what Burrow did early in his career. And I have no doubt he can, but I hate it for him, man. He deserves a little better than this.
Yeah. Yeah. Getting back to this point about rebuild or not rebuild. Look, here's what I'll say. If you just allow me to indulge myself here. Please. Right. Look, a rebuild in my definition is what is currently taking place in Arizona, what is currently taking place in Chicago to an extent. This franchise under this, you know, front office, nothing that they've done in the past, you know, 6 months has indicated that this is a rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if they started trading players and accumulating draft picks, then maybe I can kind of get on board with that. But right now, this is not a rebuild, folks. You don't pay Miles Sanders, Adam Thielen, right, DJ Chark, Justin Houston, and all of these other veterans that you signed.
Von Bell.
And Von Bell. You don't sign all of these players.
DJ Chark.
Yeah, I mentioned him. Okay, these veteran players.
Hayden Hurst.
And think that this is a rebuild. Like, those players aren't coming here for a rebuild. They didn't go to Arizona for good reason because they know it's a rebuild there.
Yep.
And I don't see this as a rebuild whatsoever. We have to get that out of our thinking. If Carolina started trading assets and picking up, you know, draft picks, then maybe I can change my mind. But right now, as far as this franchise is concerned, they are not going through a rebuild.
Yeah.
I don't know what this is. I mean, I just think this is a normal football operation. They're just going through the season.
Yeah. I hate that term to begin with. I hate it. It's like game manager. I just hate the stupid term rebuild. It is. It's just, it's just where they're at. I mean, look, there was a lot of changes from last season. That doesn't mean they downgraded necessarily. That means they changed a lot. My point about this would be, I don't think they're in a rebuild and they're in a reboot. Oh God. I think they're just changing everything. They've changed the entire offensive structure. It's entirely new except for Campen, and that's fair, and Tabor. And those are important guys. But new quarterback coach, new wide receiver coach, new offensive line coach. New running back coach, new coordinator, and new head coach, among other things. And I still think marrying this system and the scheme with the new core of receivers versus the past couple of years along with this offensive line that's not familiar necessarily with this scheme. Maybe I'm overcomplicating. Maybe they are. Maybe it's like, you know what? It's a copycat league. What's the right way to do it? To compromise what we believe is our core system and scheme and go back to what worked for these guys and hold their hand through it? That's not the right way to do it. Frank's system has to work. But it's certainly, whatever the system is, it can't have the run-pass ratio in a close game like that. It's not, I don't look at it like a rebuild. No, this team, you're a couple turnovers away from being possibly 1-1, 2-0.
All right, let's get to a few questions here that listeners have. And let's start here with Gregory is Goat on Twitter asks, I ask this respectfully as I may be missing something, but what is number 26 doing when he tries to tackle? I saw him flying through the air on so many plays, but never making contact with the target. Seems like a poor matchup when we play teams with all-star wide receivers.
Talking about Dante Jackson?
Number 26 will be Dante Jackson.
There's on occasion Dante will, I guess you're talking about a tunnel screen maybe or something, or the long route that they broke. I remember now. Yeah, that was a bad one. Dante's actually, I think he's pretty good in run support as a force defender at times. CJ, not so much. And that's just what I've seen on tape. Now, Dante's not the best I've ever seen. Ken Lucas remains the best I've ever seen in that department, the GOAT for this team. Dante's a cover guy. I mean, look, it's hard to ask a guy of that size to come down and I guess in the passing game, yeah, he could be a little better in that department, but I think in the run game, he's actually halfway decent in terms of, you know, force defense. But I appreciate the question. That's probably number 51 on my list of important things to monitor for this team, but it's a good question.
I definitely don't, in my opinion, I think his aggressiveness works against him at times. You saw that in the double move.
Sure.
He's a pretty inconsistent player. Let's just keep it real. Yeah. But he definitely fits, you know, a modern NFL defense. And he certainly had flashes last night too. He didn't necessarily play terribly outside of that last play.
He had some good moments in tight coverage, I thought. I think he's on Thomas a couple times. Thomas had one nice play down the boundary. But you know, here's the thing, Dante. Like, if he gets hurt, I mean, we agree that he's pretty inconsistent and he has ups and downs, but he's still a starter caliber guy in this league, and they're pretty thin out there. That's next on the plate.
Other questions here that I think we've already mentioned, but I'll just go through them quickly. If things go really bad, do you seriously consider trading some players for draft picks? I think we just answered that with your discussion on Chin and Burns.
Yeah, I don't think it has to go badly either. I think maybe that's something that's proactively you're thinking of. Scott Fitter is a track record to this. That's all I'll say.
Another question. If the team is near the bottom before the trade deadline, would you try to move the players if you were the GM? I think we've mentioned Chin and Burns as two guys that, again, we wouldn't do it, but two guys that
Scott would,
given their situation right now, one of them is not getting snaps, another one is in a contract dispute. They could be trade deadline candidates. And following up on that, another question was about Chin's snap count dropping. Here's a question from Terrell Jones at TJ1124. Cool. In your opinion, how much of what we see on the field offensively comes down to scheme and or execution, or do we just not have the right players in the team at the moment? I can answer this. I think, and there's another question here about who is to blame for the Panthers' offensive struggles. Everyone.
Yeah, thank you. It's all of it.
The quarterback, the offensive line, the running backs, the tight ends, the pass catchers, the coaches.
Yeah.
Everyone is responsible for this. And obviously the front office for, you know, assembling this talent. I don't necessarily think it's just one area. I think the offensive line was acceptable. I'm not saying they were good.
Week one,
I would
just say
that they were acceptable.
Decent last night. Not bad.
Another question that we've kind of already touched on. Where does, this is from Bridget Stockdale. She says that, where does Shaq's injury leave us in terms of those that are available to fill a spot? I think we went over that.
Yeah, Deion Jones and Cruzier Hill. Yeah. Those guys.
Here's a good question from Joey JG _ Radman. Understanding that there are weaknesses in offense through these first 2 weeks, but are we maybe slightly overlooking the Falcons and Saint defenses a little?
Yep.
Two defenses that have yet to give up a 200-yard passer. I feel like all divisional games this year will be a grind for yards?
This is actually a good question, and I might have a pretty good answer for you because
again, I don't disagree with him at all, by the way.
No, I was talking again to our scouting friend who knows a bit about Frank, and he's been around Philadelphia, and he talked about this, and here's what he had to say, and I want to pull it up. He said, I think the defenses they played against are really tough on any rookie, let alone one without no weapons to distribute the ball. That system, talking about the systems we face, New Orleans and Atlanta, that system is built on really tight coverage, excellent leverage, alignment and maintenance and coverage, and stout run defense. It's designed to do exactly what it did to a rookie quarterback. The way to beat it is through a quarterback-driven run game, and they don't have that. So I thought that was a pretty salient summary. And, yeah, they're similar in scope. Ryan Nielsen, obviously, they've got connections there. And, of course, Dennis Allen is I don't know who the DC is. I probably should. But Dennis is still probably, you know, the head of the class there in terms of that. And he did a good job last night. I mean, it's not a hard it's not a hard offense to defend right now. It's not. And this is not the best they'll face. But, yeah. Those are good defenses. And look, give them credit.
I think you especially, John, you have a lot of respect for Dennis Allen as a defensive coordinator.
I do. I mean, and I have a lot of respect for Ryan Nielsen. I mean, and Arthur Smith as well. And Arthur, look, he is as much of a defensive offensive coach as you'll find because he understands from the Vrabel tree, like, look, you get a lead, you grind it. He's a little bit of that John Fox mentality.
But he did some crazy stuff the other day.
He did. The camera shot with him freaking out.
No, did you see him going for a 4th and 2 when they're down – One point, and they just need a field goal, but it's 4th and 1.
Arthur had a little too much of the Jameson. I don't know what's going on, man. That mustache might be wearing on his head, but I mean, they're 2-0, and their defense is doing enough. I was kind of surprised they won that game. Green Bay had a 2-possession lead, and yeah, that's tough too. And it's part of this equation too. I mean, if you're a divisional, you know, like nut like we are, and you see your divisional rivals all 2-0, it's been the worst of everything. Everybody's winning. Baker's winning there. If you're into that sort of stuff and you don't have the blinders on, yeah, I can see where fans are just really salty right now because your team is expected to be in the hunt, and it's not over. But it's like you said, Billy, these aren't like 350-yard passing days that are coming up short. In this league, if you're passing for 150, 200 yards and you're losing but your defense is playing great, I mean, that might not be the best first-year introduction to the NFL for Bryce, and I'm not saying this is going to wreck his career. I'm just saying this doesn't get easy overnight.
Last question here, Eric Buck on Twitter, Eric Buck LV. How do you run offense seemingly built on the quick game, but with players who consistently fail to create separation, gain yak, or even successfully block a DB on a screen pass?
Well, I mean, that's a little harsh. I don't think it's all that bad, but
It comes down to execution.
So far,
and honestly, execution is on the coaches just as much as on the players.
Yeah, it is. And so far, I mean, so far in the short sample size, 8 quarters of tape, it's been kind of that bad. So that's fair. You've got to scheme things up. You got to understand, you know, what you have and how to use it. You got to understand that you paid Miles to not come in here, obviously, and understanding what your limitations would be. These guys aren't idiots. Frank knew coming in what these two defenses were capable of. He knew the limitations at guard. He was obviously determined to stick with the passing game and try to hit some shot plays and hope the front could hold up in this game. Overall, it's just got to get more balanced. And I don't know. I mean, or do they have anybody? Like, I don't want to be – is Shy done for the year? Did he get cut?
Shy Tuttle?
Shy Smith. He's gone, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so, like, and Damir Bird is done, right? He's IR for the season.
Yeah, I don't see it.
And Marced Smith is you know, look, preseason champ, and I don't see that developing. So, look, speed is speed, and you talked about that, but just having, you know, a guy that just a Jordan Todman speedster that can run 9 routes, that's not solving the issue. It's all about getting loose and being able to separate, and it's not all about speed in that department. I think it'll get better. This seems like the kind of thing where, like, look, Steichen and Richardson, let me just speak on that for a minute. That was a match made in heaven on draft night. I think you and I texted about it. Like, okay, Hurts, Steichen's offense, it makes sense. That's a team right now that can, look, by virtue of being able to move the chains, and they're in 2nd and 3, 2nd and 2 consistently. That's everything in this league. Everything. It's the foundation of it. It especially if you're not, like, you know, just bombs away Miami, you could just at any moment hit up a cheat code. Carolina doesn't have that right now. They're not committed to it, and they don't have it. They're in 2nd and 9+ consistently. It's back where we were kind of in that 2021 zone with Matt Rhule, that Giants game. This team is not that bad. This coaching staff is not that bad, but you are what you are. So, like you said, Bill, my final word on this is, you know, this is tough talk. I don't want to depress any Panthers fans. See this team go prove it and then build some confidence, because it's not really about us. It's about the team building their own confidence from within and getting that quarterback's confidence up. Fans will be fine. Fans are going to watch games, drink beer, have a good time. Hey, look, it's been a tough road. Carolina fans, just hang in there, man. I mean, we say it every year. This is a bit of an unexpected bump in the road early in the season with a rookie quarterback, with all this offensive firepower on the coaching staff. For Billy Marshall, I'm John Ellis. This has been the Roar Podcast. We'll be back with you in a few days to give you a preview of Seahawks-Panthers. How about that game? Big-time game out west. We want to thank PrizePicks.com for sponsoring this fine show. See you next time on Blue Wire.